The recitation of the Avodah year after year helped keep the memory of the temple alive, and therefore further fueled the faith of the Jewish people and its bond to Jerusalem. Welcome to A Journey Through the Machzor, Episode 22, 1 and 1, The Avoda. I'm Meir Soloveitchik. I begin today by citing several different parts of an article in the New York Times published in 1987 about my grandfather and his commute from Chicago to New York every week in the years following his suffering a stroke. Despite being in terrible pain, my grandfather continued to travel in order to teach the Torah that he loved. We are told about my grandfather that, quote, the daily walk from his apartment on Yeshiva's campus on Amsterdam Avenue and 185th Street to an adjacent classroom building takes nearly a half hour. Do you know what it's like to tie my shoes or to put the tefillin on my hand, he asked, holding out his shaking left hand and pointing to where he binds the traditional phylacteries each morning? It's as difficult as parting the Red Sea. I try to elevate myself through my suffering, said the rabbi. I'm in constant pain, but when I give a shiur, I don't feel it as much. For the rabbi, the opportunity to return to the seminary, where at least one member of the Soloveitchik family has taught since 1929, and where he himself taught for 6 years in the 1960s, is of special significance. End quote. And the article further tells us that my grandfather said, it's an invigorating feeling to teach at the school where my brother and father have taught. I have feelings of trepidation and excitement. To think of my grandfather in the years following his stroke is to think of this commute and his sacrifices in the midst of pain in order to continue to teach. And for those who knew him, to think of him continuing to sacrifice to teach is also to remember a description in the Machzor about the service of the high priest in the holiest site on earth. Much of the repetition of the Musaf prayer on Yom Kippur is devoted to what is known as the Avodah, the description in intricate detail of the high priest's service in the temple on this sacred day, and above all, the entry of the high priest into the Holy of Holies, the holiest location in earthly existence, the sacred sphere into which the high priest would enter only on Yom Kippur. Menachem Begin, in a eulogy and an elegy for the murdered Jews of his hometown of Brisk, recalled being told by his father as a child to stay in the synagogue for the Avodah service, because of its sanctity. And the point, I believe, for Begin, is that through the recitation and recounting in intricate detail of all that occurred in the temple on Yom Kippur, the temple and what occurred there in its most sacred moments remained a living image in Jewish minds and hearts. Begin described how he recalls the chazan, the cantor, and the choir in the great synagogue of Brisk, describing the moment when the high priest uttered the ineffable name of God, and all assembled in the temple courtyard would bow down and say, Baruch Shem Kivod Malchuto Li'olam Va'ed, blessed is God's glorious sovereign name, forever. There is an obvious connection between Begin's childhood experiences and his reflection in his memoir, The Revolt, of what he called the testimony of the stones that one sees as one approaches the Temple Mount, a testimony that told of the Jewish bond throughout millennia to the land of Israel in the face of all those that sought to deny it. Begin put it this way, quote, these stones are not silent. They do not cry out. They whisper. They speak softly of the house that once stood here, of kings who knelt here once in prayer, of prophets and seers who here declaimed their message, of heroes who fell here dying, and of how the great flame, at once destructive and illuminating, was here kindled. End quote. The recitation of the Avodah year after year helped keep the memory of the temple alive, and therefore further fueled the faith of the Jewish people and its bond to Jerusalem. It is with this in mind that we can conjure in our own mind's eye one portion of the service, describing the sprinkling of the blood of the offerings by the high priest inside the Holy of Holies. In this ritual of sanctification, the blood was sprinkled in a unique way, first upwards once and then downwards seven times. And interestingly, as the high priest counted the sprinklings, he would refer in the seven downward sprinklings to the original sprinkling upward. Thus first, as he made an upward motion, he would count achat, one. And then, as he sprinkled downward seven times, he would count achat v'achat, one and one, achat ushtayim, one and two, achat v'shalosh, 1 and 3, so that each one of the 7 downward sprinklings was linked to the sprinkling above. And the point, as Rabbi Samson Raphael Hirsch explained, is that Judaism does not seek to escape this world for the sacred world of heaven. Rather, in a certain sense, it seeks to bring heaven's holiness down here to infuse the physical with sanctity. Thus, each time, as the high priest sprinkled downwards toward the stones of the temple, he referred to his original motion upward toward heaven, highlighting how the Torah seeks to create holiness in our own world. For me, however, the unique form of counting by the high priest, 1, 1 and 1, 1 and 2, achat, achat v'achat, achat u'shtayim, will always, as I stand in the synagogue on Yom Kippur, remind me of a very different moment. As my grandfather would approach stairs, the time when I was in Yeshiva University as a student, it was the stairs of the particular building wherein he was then giving his shiur, his Talmud class. He would climb the stairs with great pain, step by step, every one of them excruciating, and he would count as he went, and he would utilize, incredibly, the high priest's system of numbering. As he climbed one step, he would say, achat, 1, and then the next step, achat v'achat, 1 and 1. Another, 1 and 2. Another, 1 and 3. This highlighted, as my father once said, that for my grandfather, his very sacrifices on behalf of teaching were a sacred service, or in Hebrew, an avoda, on behalf of his faith, in service of God. The memory of my grandfather, as I say these words every Yom Kippur, reminds me that though none of us are high priests, we are asked to turn our lives into a form of service, each in our own way. As we recite the Avoda on Yom Kippur, we will conjure up the temple in Jerusalem, the Beit HaMikdash, the glorious edifice, and the high priest that served within. But for me, the liturgy will also conjure up an image of my grandfather and the memory of his service that remains with me year after year. This is Meir Soloveitchik, looking forward to learning together tomorrow. Signing off.